720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. To my right, we do have Dino Tiberi, the physical. Well, the you know, you're a descendant, right, of Larry from Aurora, who is a big part of the Nick DiGilio show.
I am. He was my uncle.
Yes.
There you go, right? That's Dad.
Now, was he, and people want to know this too, because, you know, the behind the scenes, you know, you have celebrities, people that hear on the radio, they don't often, you know the personal side of them. Like, was he a loving guy? I know he had
a son, and yeah, he was, you know, he was always wanted to know what was going on with us. He always asked, you know, a lot of questions, what are you up to? You know, he was always, you know.
I mean it like that. I meant it more like, you know.
Romantically? Yeah, he was, I mean, as far as I could tell, I don't.
Oh, okay. I mean, just, you know. Was
oh,
he
yeah,
one of those?
No, it's, yeah, he definitely seemed that way.
Okay, cool. All right, good to know. Well, you know, on the line with us, and, you know, when it comes to movies, there's a guy that's got his hand on the pulse of all of it, the red hot beating pulse of movies and love, you know, when it comes to, whether if it's Star Wars, even if it's like alien love, you know, or intergalactic love, he knows all about it. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, welcome to WGN. And also, too, we kind of let the cat out of the bag that there was a time back in the day when you were also
Heartbreaker.
Well known as Heartbreaker Blake Stubbs.
A time long forgotten, gentlemen. A time long forgotten. Good morning, by the way. How are you guys been?
Good. How are you?
We're doing.
Oh, doing quite well.
How do you do it? Because, you know, movies have different categories. People who love movies oftentimes love most kinds of movies. We had some suggestions from one of the listeners where, you know, when I think about it, if I had to really focus on a type of movie that I'm just not a fan of, it's the animal death movies, you know, where you've got like this story, you get attached to the animal, you know, whether it's Bambi, right, or, you know, Old Yeller, or, you know, Dog's Purpose. I'm not sure what the name of the dog was. Wasn't there one with, it was more recent with, it'll come to me. Anyway, anytime there's a dog getting killed in a movie, I'm not excited. But you don't have any of those to suggest for the listeners, right? It's all love movies.
Correct. No, I try to stay away from the movies that, you know, pretty much get completely overshadowed by, you know, the death of an animal. It's just like, and think about it this way. You know, a movie like, you know, Old Yeller, for instance, you know, it's all about the dog and that relationship that the young man has with the dog and its place in the family and, you know, and just everything about it. And in the end, it's just this really tragic thing. I mean, every single person that I, you know, knew that told me about that movie when I was younger said that it made them cry. And I know that sometimes when people want to cry when they watch movies, it's not for that very reason, because people get very attached to pets. But in this case, you know, with Valentine's Day coming up, I thought we'll stay away from the really hard hitting stuff, and we'll try to put you in a place where, like, you know, because for me, when we come up with like lists, I try to make sure that I give people an offering of something that's going to hit a bunch of different types of sensibilities. Yeah. I don't just want to give you like, hey, here's the token list. Here it is. Here's a decent little list of movies that I think you could watch, but then they all feel the same. I want you to be able to watch something and maybe pick from, you know, one, three to four movies and be like, you know what, each one of those is different in some way, but there's common themes. But for the most part, like, you know, different time period or, you know, different style of storytelling or something along those lines, because at least it keeps the list fresh.
Well Blake,
you know, we're not really ranking these. It's just stuff to watch.
Yeah, you know, right. It's apples and oranges, and you could like both. You could fall in love with either an apple or an orange, I think, right? Is there, as you look through the movies, and you, we've talked about some that are notably older, right, and some that are notably maybe newer, mm-hmm. Is there a period in time in filmmaking where they really kind of had that whole kind of romantic movie down, where some of those older ones, you think about them, you know, they're still on those lists as some of the top ones.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, you know, every era of filmmaking, I think, has captured at least at some point a really good handle on at least the romance side of things. But I know that there were a lot of them being made in the classic Hollywood era. You know, specifically just because they were great bait to get people out into the theaters to see movies. And at times, you know, part of that was because of the escapism element, but also because, you know, that was a big thing people did on dates. I mean, the traditional date has always been in a lot of people's minds, you know, dinner and a movie. Let's go get dinner and a movie. In my mind, everybody's always done it backwards. You should go see the movie first and then do dinner, because if the date's bad, at least you have some talking point, you know, to get you through the meal. And then if you want to part ways, you part ways. But if you want to see each other again, you see each other again. But, you know, that's...
There it is. There's Heartbreaker Blake coming through right there.
Right. That's the guy right, with a lot of a very enthusiastic and slightly amorous ladies, like, cast to the side. He's like, well, you know, babe, it just didn't work out. I'm not feeling it, you know.
I'm gonna go see a movie now.
You're gonna end up on the cutting room floor, so to speak.
Oh man!
I was gonna say, and let's be honest, maybe that's just the way I am, because you know, if we can't carry on a conversation about movies, why are we even hanging out together?
Well, there
it's
you
a waste
go.
Of my time. I mean, you know, if I'm Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Yeah, you just met the heartbreaker. Get out of here. You know, that's pretty much the way that it works.
Jekyll and Hyde, this
that's
guy.
So cold, but you know what? That's so indicative of Hollywood, right? You just have to be ready for rejection when you're hanging out with Blake. So here's the. So name off a couple if you have like two or three or four or whatever that you've kind of listed as suggestions.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, the real classic, you know, love story that has, you know, every angle of love from the deep passion to the heartbreak to the harsh realities. And just for one, I just want to point out, it's just beautiful storytelling and great acting. It's Casablanca. I mean, that's the movie that I think a lot of people go to. Maybe not as like their go-to Valentine's Day viewing, but it's also one of those movies that I think everyone should see. Especially as a film lover, you know, the way the movie was made, all of the actors that are involved in it, the style that the movie was made in, at the same time, that falls in that classic Hollywood era that I was talking about. But it's probably at the top of every list in terms of quality. So I would definitely put that one up there. And then another one, and I'm doing this because, you know, we as audience members lost a great actor this week. His name was John Mahoney, and a lot of people will know him as Marty Crane on Frasier, the sitcom. He played Frasier Crane's father. But for me, the first time I ever saw him in anything when I was younger was when I watched Say Anything, which stars John Cusack, Ion Skye. But John Mahoney plays the father, who goes through some personal problems. I don't want to spoil too much, but he brought a real, as far as his performance goes, he brought a realness to it that I think he breaks hearts, not necessarily in the traditional sense of, you know, like dating people and, you know, breaking up with them, but, you know, the audience's hearts, because he plays it so well. But also, it's a tale of young love, and it's all full of idealism and, you know, this belief in the idea that, you know, you can accomplish whatever you want as long as you have, like, these key goals. You know, one of the taglines, I think, used to be, you know, to know Lloyd Dobler is to love him, and Diane Court is about to know Lloyd Dobler. So Say Anything is always pretty high on my list. I don't think it gets mentioned enough. I think it's a pretty decent film that, especially this time of year, great time to watch it. And with the recent passing of John Mahoney, I want to give a little shout out. Pay extra attention, I think, to him in this movie, if you've seen it before, but you're watching it again for the first time in a long while.
Yeah, great stuff. And it's nice that you mentioned John Mahoney, too, is a guy who, and I guess he was born in England, but lived in Illinois most, of course, at Oak Park, right, for the last X amount of years. And no matter what he was doing, whether it was movies or TV, he would stay here. So a devoted Chicagoan as well.
Yes. And he's such an interesting story in and of himself. I mean, I think he came to the States at about 19 and, made it a point to drop his Mancunian accent. And then when he joined the army to speed up his naturalization process, he just sort of started speaking with an American accent and he never gave it up. So, I mean, he could go back and forth between accents. You know, I mean, he never really forgot where he was from, but he knew that it was important to really become a part of the American dream. And he did, in just about every sense of the word. I mean, he didn't really even become an actor until he was about 40.
Right.
And for the most part, you know, the impression that he made, he always had a great look to him. He always brought a real sense of, I hate to use the word and sound trite, but there's a realness in all of his performances. And if you watch, especially Frasier, there's some monologues that he gives in that show that they'll break into. So, I mean, if love is a big, you know, phrase, this man had a love for acting and telling stories. In fact, I believe he passed away with his boots on. I think he was performing in Chicago. Now, I don't live in the city, so I kind of became aware of this after the fact, but I guess he was performing in a show in Chicago, and he was a Steppenwolf member. And so, you know, they had to cancel the show, obviously, the night of his passing, in honor of him. And I believe the show is going on, you know, as theater tends to do, but he made an indelible impression on me as an actor at a young age, before I even knew anything about any of this stuff. You know, before I really dove in and became the movie lover and TV, you know, lover that I am today. But he is one of those big figures, I think. And if you want to watch somebody who really loved to act and just knew how to carry himself well, I got to give John Mahoney a shout. And the best way I could do that in a way of giving you a list of movies about love and romance, I have to bring up Say Anything.
Yeah.
Again, because I think now people are talking about it for obvious reasons, but I don't think that should be the only reason.
Yeah,
great performer.
And he was, you know, you hear some of the tributes coming out as well, and people who had interacted with him on the media side here in Chicago and universally, and here's the word we're using it, we'll use it till five, is loved. So he was appreciated, supported, and a beloved figure here in Chicago. So but we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned John Cusack. He is a guy that in those movies, and you mentioned, you know, how serious can those movies be taken, but there's a lot of kind of love and romantic-y kind of movies, you know, those kid-style ones that he was a part of. You also have, you know, on the old-time side, and Dino and I were talking about it as well, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know, you've got Sabrina, you've got Roman Holiday. You know, Audrey Hepburn is, I mean, was there something kind of in her DNA that made her just a great participant? Was it just the script she happened to have, and this is just, you know, she played the games that were, you know, on the schedule, or was this the kind of thing that she really brought to it, and that's part of the reason those roles are so memorable? We'll get into all those, and give your thought too, Blake, on some actors that really kind of have this. We've talked about not everybody's an action hero. You know, not everybody can be, you know, rappelling down skyscrapers and all that. And I don't think everybody can be great at and memorable at romantic movies or romantic comedy. So hold on to that. We are going to take a quick break and we'll come back. It's Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, high atop the Allstate Showcase studio, the upper deck one, right? We're in the Skybox studio.
Yes, we are, as opposed to down on the Michigan Avenue studio. I think I might be getting a nosebleed. This is pretty high up here.
Yeah, it's pretty high up. Daniel in for Nick until 5. I got Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan, in the booth. And on the line with us, he has confirmed that he has embraced the heartbreak herself, blockbuster Blake Stubbs, on the line with us. And we're talking romantic movies. We're talking movies that can move you in a romantic way. We're highlighting some of those, not only some of those, but the actors that made them famous. And during the break, Blake, Dino and I were talking about, he said something once, like he saw this one movie once, and then, of course, he went Johnny Dangerously on me. And I wanted to mention, too, this, I mean, there's love in this, of course. There's love interest, and there's a lot of love going on in the movie. But
there
are movies that we remember, that I remember differently. I remember thinking it was funny and hilarious and a lot of great lines, you know, so many great stuff in Johnny Dangerously. And then I tried to watch it. We wanted to make the kids watch it and sat down, and you got like a couple minutes into it. It's just so naughty. There's just so much in it that's just like, no, turn it off. Turn it off. You can't watch it. That's the way I remember it totally differently.
It is a movie that I think I would 100% agree with you. The novelty of watching it and wanting and saying, you know, kids, this movie's really funny. This movie's really funny. Like, I think I would have the exact same reaction and be like, wait a minute. But on a personal note, I remember when I saw that movie, and I'm pretty sure I saw that movie when I was about 13 or 14, which, you know, that's like the perfect time for someone who's discovering immature humor to see it. It is. Like, there's so many quotable lines. Exactly. And when you're 13 or 14 and you see a movie like that, or, you know, something like along the lines of a Hot Shots, or, you know, like just screwball comedies that or Airplane, you know, they really make a heavier impression, I think, than if you watch them as an adult and you just find them funny.
Blake,
that makes sense. Like they're going to stick with you a little harder.
Well, this has happened, like, I don't know, maybe 10 times where I'm like, oh, you guys got to see this. Yet in my mind, I'm thinking, I think of all just the humor and I just all the just kind of like, you know, whether it's the innuendos or just the swearing, you know, like Spaceballs. I just thought it was hilarious. You turn it on, like a couple minutes in, you're like, we can't do this.
It's too soon for this.
No.
They're going to have to wait a few years.
And some of these movies, you got to be careful, because, like, you can maybe catch them on television, you know, once in a while. And then they're edited down. But even so, like, you don't necessarily want the kids to see it. Yeah. Like, still, like, it's one of those things where it's on your list and you want to watch it with them and you want to laugh with them. But, it's just not yet.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not yet. And and that came out at a time where PG-13 was a new rating. For what it's worth, it hadn't really been a well and stated in the case of Johnny Dangerously. So, like, the rating system for movies, you know, has evolved. The categories have kind of stayed the same, but, you know, like, what classifies as a PG-13 versus a PG versus an R, the sensibilities by the MPAA have changed over time. And so you kind of have to be careful on occasion.
Yeah.
You can run into some awkward moments with your kids, and you really don't want to have to explain to them, you can't say this word or you can't do this. And you know, like in the case of Johnny Dangerously, you would be doing it about every three to five minutes, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially with the, you know, one of the gangster, the organized crime figure, the Maroney, I think his name was, and he constantly, he was swearing constantly, but like he was slightly adjusting the swearing so that it wasn't exactly swearing.
But you get it. Yeah, and they kept talking about how he butchers the English language, you know, and really it's just when he's swearing. He just can't swear right.
Well, Dick Buck has had the line in that movie, what a mouth on that guy.
What a mouth on that guy. It's a classic.
And the doctor who comes in, she needs a pancreatic addition. We're doing a gallbladder search. And it's like, what's the problem? We can't find it. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we can't find it.
It's one of those ones as an adult that, you know, you throw those lines back and forth like we are right now. And, you know, you kind of want to get your kid into it. Maybe they'll start, you know, you can have a conversation with them. You drop a line. But you got to draw the line as to what age you start that at.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to explain the whole brothel system. Then you just can't get into that movie. Anyway, on just the general, you know, and conventional love and the movies about it, I know you had a couple other movies that you wanted to suggest for the listeners to kind of get into and kind of ease into their Valentine week.
Yeah. Well, one of them is a movie that I think, and I brought this up a couple of times. I've mentioned it, I think, more than any other film that I've ever, you know, in all the times I've been on WGM, this is the film I think I've mentioned more times than any other. And the reason for that is, one, it's a good movie. Two, I think it fits the theme that we're talking about right now. And that is this theme of love and romance. And in this case, it's the fairy tale entry of this this list, and that's The Princess Bride.
Oh, I love it.
You know, a wonderful cast. It's a very funny film, but the whole, if true love really exists, this movie is trying to prove it. You know, it's that kind of thing. I think that it has a lot to offer almost any kind of audience member. You know, if you want some swashbuckling, you'll get some swashbuckling. If you want some just downright comedy, you'll get downright comedy. And look, I think we all need more Andre the Giant in our lives. So at the same time, you have that. And then, of course, it's just one of those movies that I think still holds up. You know, I mean, I was a kid like Fred Savage's character in the film who, you know, would have a sick day. And then what do you do? Like, well, you watch movies and you, you know, play video games and everything else. But this movie takes a turn on that sort of that sick day element. And Grandpa comes over to read a story.
Yeah, Columbo.
That's a rich story. Yeah, Columbo comes over. Peter Falk plays the grandfather. And the story becomes so engaging to the young man. But then the way they turned that book into a film, I think it's just stuck. You know, generation after generation, it's just one of those movies that everybody can sit down, watch, and enjoy. A lot of people, just like three of us with Johnny Dangerously, a lot of people can quote that movie quite well. And so I think it's one of those that I'm not telling you to watch this because it's probably going to be your first time. I'm telling you to watch this because why would you not want to? It's just such one of those big enjoyable films that I think people can come back to anytime. But in the spirit of Valentine's Day and seeking true love and all of those things, I think that's the fairy tale, the one that I think we all deep down want. And so I think that's why I would easily recommend that.
You know, and here's the thing, too, is, and we mentioned a little bit about, you know, kind of easing kids into some of these that we've known and loved and appreciated and you want to share, you want to pass that cinematic torch. And, mm-hmm. and they did. I think it's an anniversary for Princess Bride at some point, because I think it was a couple months ago, our 6-year-old, her uncle took her to see it. They were showing it on they had a limited engagement. It was in Oak Brook, I think, and they were showing it on the big screen, which is nice. You know, whenever you can see some of these movies, you know, we've all seen, but we've only seen them just on televisions, you know, and it's just not the same, and you can see it on the big screen and all that kind of stuff, and you get those opportunities. This is one that you could definitely do. But she absolutely loved it. It was as new to her as it was, you know, maybe to us, you know, a couple decades ago. So it was the kind of thing that and there are so many great lines in that. There's so many great cameos. There's so many. I mean, it is that's an awesome suggestion, and I think one for all ages.
Exactly. I think it falls into that, you know, like if somebody, you know, asks me, say, hey, you know, like name the best comedies. Like there's always, I think, the one that is the easiest to quote. And the easy answer to that is Caddyshack. That's the one that everybody goes to immediately.
My all-time favorite.
Kind of when you say, yeah, and one of mine, too. And when you go to, you know, the love and romance category, I immediately just go to The Princess Bride. I think there's just no question. I think that it's one of those movies that, you know, you could be at a party. And if somebody was like, hey, we're going to watch a movie, and of course, I'm not saying that's going to be the best party you've ever been to, but like if it's one of those types of, you know, friendly gatherings where everybody's like, hey, let's all watch a movie we love, if you brought out Princess Bride, I think everybody in the room would want to watch it. And of course, they'll talk through it and they'll quote it and everything else, but everybody that I've ever encountered who has seen that film has a personal attachment to it. And I think that it's a great movie to watch, especially if, you know, you're dating somebody and you want to see if they're worth your time. You should watch Princess Bride with them.
The Blake-o meter there.
I'm joking. Yeah, I'm just, the Heartbreaker Blake Stubbs meter. No, I'm joking there. But for real, though, that's one of those big movies, I think, if you want to talk about romance and love and that fairy tale type story, it's got to be Princess Bride.
All right,
100%.
So we are going to take it. When we come back, we're going to get into more of the instead of the like the fairy tale type, you know, the, you know, true love and its and its concept, right? We're going to get into some real relationships in some of these different movies, and some of them, you know, have love from the other side, you know, from you know, maybe the the other side, you know, from far away, from the, you know, you got to channel in that love. And then some of them, you've got one in here, you know, that Pretty Woman is on the list too, where you brought in kind of unconventional girlfriend style love, you know, but still great, heartwarming. Woof woof, we've all done it, right? Dino, you've never done that.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
All right, so hold tight. We'll be back with Blockbuster Blake, also known as Heartbreaker Blake, in full effect. 720 WGN, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, high atop. Well, kind of in the middle of the building, actually. Well, maybe 7th floor. Maybe we're sort of near the top, well, the bottom third. I don't know how. Well, we are not.
We're in the building. Let's put it that way.
We're not on the ground level. Yeah, Dane in for Nick D until 5, as he is working on his own situation, trying to keep it all together. There, they've got some water. That I've had that ice damming stuff happen before, where you get a bunch of snow or a certain amount of snow, it gets a little bit warmer, then you get some leaks, and you got to deal with it. Like you said, Dino, you just can't let that go.
No, because once you do that, the floodgates open, and it's not a pretty sight.
Which brings me to Blockbuster Blake Subs, also known as Heartbreaker Blake, and he has done nothing to dissuade people from brandishing him with that.
He's enhanced that reputation with this call.
Yeah, and a little bit about, you know, Nick and what he's going through and all that kind of stuff reminds me of one of the greatest love movies of all time, but also brings in some tragedy and some water related drama with Titanic. And
water related drama. Fantastic.
Iceberg right ahead. So here's the thing. In that movie, and for those people who haven't seen that movie, spoiler alert, it sinks, is the... But it's all about, right? It's about, you know, a bunch of people on a ship. You ever been on a cruise, Dino? I took one. You can see how that's kind of stuff. Not the iceberg part, but, you know, just so you get a bunch of people together. They're eating, you know, buffet style, right? You're just like, hey, is there room at this table? And boom, next thing you know,
the whole ship's tipped over.
Yeah, you're hanging off the front of the boat saying, I'm on top of the world. So, Blake, what did you think about Titanic? Is it on your list or no?
It's one of those movies that I think, I mean, yeah, it's one of those highly recommendable movies.
Problem,
but here's the reason why it isn't on the list, or why I wouldn't have put it at the forefront of the films I would have recommended tonight. It's about 3 hours long. So, you know, usually these types of films stay under that 2 hour mark, because they're easy to watch. They're easy to throw on and then go about the rest of your evening. Titanic is kind of like invest the whole evening in, because here's the thing. That movie, when it was released on VHS, when VHS was still a thing, came in two tapes. And the first tape would pretty much be the love story. And the second tape was pretty much the boat sinking. So it's, you know, if you wanted to only watch the first half of it, then yeah, you got your romance story that, you know, you think love would last forever. But then you watch the rest of it and you're like, well, this took a turn.
Honey, tape one or tape two?
Yeah, tape one or tape two. And, you know, it's but that all said, jokes aside, what a monster of a film. You know, I mean, visually, it was a stunner. You had, you know, great performances from Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. In fact, I remember watching an interview with Kate Winslet talking about this film, and she said, when I was about 19 years old, I was filming Hamlet with Kenneth Branagh, and I got the call that I was going to be in Titanic. So this was really like her second big film. You know, like the second thing that was going to really put her out front, because she, you know, and if you're going to start with Ophelia and then you're going to move on and play, you know, Rose DeWitt Bucater, who, I mean, she made an impression, let's be honest. She really kind of, you know, jumped right off that screen and into the hearts of many as an actress, and rightfully so. She had it all. I mean, she had the talent, she had the look, she had the style. And at the same time, you know, I mean, I won't lie, my favorite parts of Titanic feature Bill Paxton, because it's got Bill Paxton in it. And at the same time, it is. It's that James Cameron, you know, big budget, you know, pull out all the stops and make a really engaging film that if you tried to sit down and watch today, the action sequences in the film hold up really well, I think. And at the same time, I think that, like you were saying, you know, it's about going on this fateful cruise, right? You know, it's this movie about the star-crossed type lovers, you know, third class boy meets first class girl, and they sort of fall in love. And that's literally their stations on the boat. I mean, he was staying in steerage and she was in, you know, the biggest suites possible, like holding onto her Monet paintings, because at that time Monet wasn't really known. But that was sort of the big hook of the movie, was that it was like, you know, love can be in the most unlikely of places, and it can go through this very trying and tragic event, and it can still hold.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, and of course it has, you know, that I'll never let go, I'll never let go, and then she lets go. But at the same time, like, it's sort of a... It's a metaphor. She obviously had to let go because she needed to get saved so she could, you know, continue to tell the story.
Yes.
And it was one that won 11 Oscars. I mean, you can't knock it. Like, it's one of those movies that it was big, and it really, I think, especially, and I didn't get to until years later. I didn't get to see that on a big screen. I mean, this came out in 97. And let me be honest, in 1997, Heartbreaker Blake Stubbs could not have cared less about romance movies. I didn't care. But at the same time, you know, years later, I remember seeing this on a big screen and thinking, wow, I can completely see why this movie was as big as it was, because the scale of the movie was so huge and captivating.
Yep.
And the visuals, you know, like just putting a boat out on the high seas, you can just have ocean for miles, but they really created a sense of what it was like to be on that ship, and it transported the audience, and that's why people went to see it, and that's why it made so much money. It was a captivating story.
And that's why it's a classic to this day. Early on when we first started the show, we talked about some of those elements. We just can't, you know, Celine Dion, right? You know, and some of the songs that she has that are kind of, you know, iconic elements in a lot of these romantic situations. She is a love song singer. And so, okay, so not every movie is got to be big and bold, and it's got to have a, you know, tragedy and 1,500 people, you know, drowning, end up at the bottom of the of the icy cold ocean. So you don't always have to have that in order to get some love across. So do you have a couple other movies? I know you had at least one or two more on your list, and that one wasn't even on your list, right?
Well, I'm sorry, which one?
And Titanic wasn't really even on your list, you know, so that was one we threw in.
And again, those are the curveballs that I love. I mean, if we're going to discuss movies, it can't just be what I think. I mean, it's got to be one of those things where cinema is a really big topic that I think, you know, warrants a lot of interesting offerings. And when I try to, you know, come up with a list, I mean, honestly, I think you guys know me and you've heard me talk enough. I could probably, you know, make a list that's 50 movies long and talk for 5 hours. But
no,
we're not here to
I don't think you could do that.
No way.
We're not challenging you. We're not doing that. Okay, so I've got a, you know, at least one. I wanted to get, like, so Dirty Dancing, right? Because you have these movies where there's love in there, but there's just, like, the whole situation, that or Pretty Woman, you know, where there's love, but it isn't so straightforward, just, you know, hey, we're going to fall. There's so much, like, messiness going on, right? Whether it's the arguments, the relationships, the occupations of the people that just make it kind of, you know, complicated.
Well, and if you want to get complicated, it comes up with what I think is the number one movie everybody should watch on Valentine's Day, and that is When Harry Met Sally. Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, two who had, I think, wonderful chemistry on camera. And it's a movie that it covers years, that spans years in the relationship of two people who met right like the day after college ended and they were headed home. And from there, you know, this relationship, they sort of meet up a few years later after this long drive where they kind of get to know each other. And then, you know, a friendship forms. And then that friendship sort of evolves into what becomes a romance. But the comedy in the film and the easily relatable traits of all the characters involved, I think has been one of the biggest reasons people have always connected with this movie. It is laugh out loud funny. There are some elements where you might cry a little. And the one little, you know, piece of, that's woven into the film that I think really helps it stick with all audiences, is all the little vignettes with the married couples when it cuts to a married couple telling their story of how they met and all these years about how they've stayed together. Or, you know, there's one couple that talks about how, like, they got divorced and then got remarried to each other many years later. And there's humor in all of it, and it feels real to a lot of people. And I think that it's easy to connect to. And it's just one of those things where, you know, watching Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan in their heyday, is a treat. And of course, Carrie Fisher, you know, is in the movie and as is Bruno Kirby, you know, two actors that I don't want to necessarily forget, but, they're part of the glue, you know, that holds it all together. But something that spans years, it gets complicated, and at the same time, it stays simple all at once, is When Harry Met Sally. Definite must watch. If you're trying to figure out what to watch on Valentine's Day, and you're like, maybe I'll listen to that guy who was on the radio. What did he say? It's When Harry Met Sally. So, that's my big recommendation.
So that is the recommendation. We're going to definitely write that down, and 312-981-7200 listeners can kind of check in with their thoughts as well. The last one, you know, there's a couple here that are sort of kind of in, you know, Patrick Swayze is another individual that's on this list in a couple different ones, and Dino's suggested Roadhouse, but I don't know, and I know there was there was a love story in there,
not much of one, but
in there somewhere. But you got a movie, An Officer and a Gentleman is here, you know, in this top 20 as well. I know there was love in it, sort of, right? But again, this is one of those ones where it's kind of just messy and complicated, and I guess they get to love at the end, and sort of that tough love, right, of the sergeant.
Right. Yeah, and it's one of those movies that it's bouncing back and forth between two serious stories, and it becomes a very, you know, internal, you know, conflict-based film for the character Richard Gere's playing, but also it's him versus his sergeant, and then him trying to find out what it is he really wants, and then when he finds out what he really wants, that's where the big romantic, you know, hook comes in, because there is that iconic, like, sort of shot of him with her, you know, I think he's, like, carrying her at the same time, and, you know, there's that big moment where it's like, I don't know where else to go, you know, like it goes all over the place.
Right, you bring in, right, this is the death of the friend, him coming to terms with his relationship with his father, and then of course all of that tough love with the, I think
Louis Gossett Jr.
With Louis Gossett Jr. Right, did he win an Oscar for that movie? I think, didn't he?
I think he did. Yes, was it supporting actor? I believe so.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to win an award for not best boyfriend. Maybe, you know, if you go back to all the heartbreaking, you'll get some letters of recommendation for maybe some adjustments that you could do on the caring and the heart side. But on the movie review side, of course, you're our A-lister, and you know that. So give the listeners a little information where they can share some of their favorite romantic movies with you. Get your thoughts on some, and keep up with your adventures.
The easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter @BlakeStubbs. Right now, my big thing coming up this week is going to be hopefully getting really amped for Thursday night to see Black Panther. I am not experiencing, Marvel Cinematic Universe fatigue. This is a movie I'm very hyped for, and I think people are going to love to talk about it. And I'm hoping we get some really good conversations going. But yeah, Twitter. Twitter is the best way, I think. It's very direct and to the point. And I think it's a great place to start conversations.
And for Black Panther, there has been such a great buzz for that, you know, where, you know, there's been a lot of people that have come out of the woodwork and said this is maybe one of the best movies, certainly in this whole kind of genre, right? And from Marvel, I was thrown off because, you know, they're from this hypothetical African country called Wakanda, right, which is very near to Lake Zurich, which is the other the other country, right. So I was kind of thrown off by that because that's obviously one of our suburbs here. But you've heard some really great things right about Black Panther. I'm excited too.
I have. And this is one of those things, too, where just the names attached to it are a big hook for me. I mean, you've got Ryan Coogler as your director and writer. And Ryan Coogler, for those that aren't, you know, familiar, is the guy that made Fruitvale Station. And I think the real sleeper hit for a lot of people, Creed, you know, about Apollo Creed's son in the Rocky universe. It was just this really great film that I think a lot of people had low expectations for. They didn't quite know what to expect. But he's a guy who's been on my radar for a couple of years and has definitely never failed to just really open my eyes when I'm watching a movie and make me want to fall in love with it. You know, the way he tells a story is excellent. I think he's a great fit for this material. I think that the fact that, you know, Chadwick Boseman made his first appearance as Black Panther in Captain America Civil War, everybody was really intrigued and couldn't wait to see more of that character. But then the actress that they put next to him in this movie, some are familiar faces that we've seen in other Marvel films, but, you know, a lot of people that have had big years over the last few, specifically Michael B. Jordan, apparently is a really big, not pleasant surprise because he's always, you know, great, but it's one of those things where he has a lot to do in this movie and he kind of steals it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the dynamic between his work and Chadwick Boseman's work. And then, of course, from Get Out, 2017's Get Out, which is nominated for Best Picture. He's also nominated for Best Actor. Daniel Kaluuya is in this movie as well. And Forrest Whitaker, who is, I think, a perennial favorite. I could go on and on through this whole cast list and yes. Be like, this is a movie that if there's a Marvel movie for you to be excited about, everybody's got their favorites. But I think this is going to be a wonderful step into a brand new way of expanding this universe. And I can't wait to see it. I'm hearing wonderful things. I'm going to see it with everybody else on Thursday night. And, you know, right now, you know, I'm excited. And I hope that a lot of people are, too.
I can feel the excitement. I can hear the passion. It comes right through. And we're excited, too. And we'll talk to you about Black Panther probably within the next, you know, handful of days right after you see it. But thanks, Blake. And keep up all the great work. Get some sleep and get back to, I think you're probably watching The Notebook right now in preparation for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we're coming up on the scene where they're going to scream at each other in the rain. I can't wait. It's going
to
be great.
Breaker.
Perfect.
All right, thanks, Blake. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks a lot.
All right. You bet. Blockbuster. Blake Stubbs. And we wanted to get to this before we go to break. I know, Dan, we're going to go to break in just 1 second. But Len in Highland has got a suggestion for one of those great romantic movies not to miss as we head towards Valentine's Day. Len, welcome to WGN.
Hi, guys. Two movies. One's kind of dark, and the other one is any chick from any generation, if she knows you like this movie, she'll like you. She'll know you have a heart.
Nice.
An Affair to Remember with Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr. And the darker one was called A Place in the Sun with Elizabeth Taylor and Montgomery Clift, which was very tragic, but still a tearjerker. But the number one movie for chicks when you want them to, you know, just dig you a little bit,
yeah,
is An Affair to Remember. It never fails, even if you are a piece of junk like I am. But,
thanks, Len. Well, we can keep them guessing, at least in the beginning. All right. Thank you, Len. Thank you for the advice, and we're going to pass it along from you to the listeners. I appreciate it. All right. So here's the thing, too. So ease into this week is a little bit of advice from Len to you. As you say, like, hey, would you like to, you know, watch Affair to Remember? Boom.
Boom. There it is.
Points right up there with the chicks right now.
It's a quick start to that relationship right there.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the start to the relationship with the Yu Darvish and the Cubs and that love affair that hopefully is going to be burgeoning in just a second, 22 minutes after 3 o'clock. Quick break. We'll be back. It's Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today. I've got Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Screw in the booth, and 312-981-7200. Your thoughts on favorite romantic movies. We're even doing some TV shows, too. We talked a little heart to heart.
Sure.
We brought up Matlock a little bit.
You keep circling back to Andy Griffith. You act like you didn't have a love story.
I love Andy Griffith. You know, he made me love Ritz Crackers. We used to do those Ritz Cracker commercials a million years ago. There's a party going on there. I think he would point into his mouth. Here's the thing.
Or Mount Pilot.
Pilot. That's where the action happened.
That's right.
Yeah. You know that. Plus, you could get a good hat. Aunt B would head out there whenever she needed something fancy. 312-981-7200. You can text in. You can call in with your thoughts. We've had a number of people text in some information and their favorite romantic movies, ones that they would suggest, and we'll share them as well. We've got a little bit of time here. So Jerry Maguire is one that has been texted in from the 847. Do you know, you had said off the air when we were talking, it's got everything, right? Sports?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's got the guy hook with the sports part of it, and then, you know, the romantic part towards the end of the movie. I mean, there is a story all the way through the movie, but, you know, it gets heightened at the end of the movie after, you know, the great performance by Cuba Gooding Jr. on Monday Night Football. And then when he comes back afterwards and, you know, drops it, the, you know, she says, you had me at hello. And then
he's talking about the Quan and help me help you. A lot of great lines in there.
Great lines in that movie, too. Yeah.
Here's the other one. So from the 414, Barefoot in the Park with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford. That's a classic, right?
Yep. And
David Monroe has the also 414, The Notebook and Somewhere in Time. So he and Blake are also watching those together. And then there was a couple from the 630 Castaway where, and you think about the love affair, because there was a love affair before the crash, but also he loved Wilson,
right?
The ball.
Yep. A man in love with a volleyball. Well, that's terrific.
I mean, it was like it was a companion friend love, even
Wilson!
Though it was right. I mean, this was serious.
Yeah,
it was some serious stuff.